the end of this week's Sedra, find the famous Kedis Yitzchak. However, Avram, before he came to sacrifice his son, the Pasuk relates, V'yashkim Avram b'boker, he got up early, V'yachavosh es chamaro, got his donkey saddled up, V'kach et shneinar avito, V'etz Yitzchak beno, he took his young men with him, and his son Yitzchak, etc. So it's interesting here, Ara, this year. L'chura, it's a funny, the Pasuk is written very, very funny. What's the main, you know, tachlis, the purpose of this journey? Of course, Avram's taking his son Yitzchak to sacrifice him. So the Pasuk is very strange. It tells us, Vayikach, who did he take? He took his two narav, his two young men, and Yitzchak. Now, since he was going to sacrifice his son Yitzchak, shouldn't have said the opposite way around. It should have said, and Avram took Yitzchak, and okay, he maybe took a couple other people to help him along, you know, his young men with him to help him out. So why is Yitzchak mentioned at the end? It sounds like he took the two, you know, Narav. Oh, and by the way, as a tack on, you know, he took Yitzchak. But he was going to have Kedis Yitzchak over here. So why would he just write it as a side, Yitzchak at the end? So the Goral Gedalyahu, he says the following. He says, what was happening over here? Avram knew he was going to sacrifice his son. It was going to be a very, shocking, you know, experience for his son and his wife when she finds out. So, as a result, Avraham, he was very sensitive towards the feelings of his son and his wife. And therefore, he didn't want to, you know, spring it on them. You know, like, okay, let's go. We're going to, you know, do a sacrifice over here. And Yitzchak's like, what? Where are we going? What? You know, and Sarah's going to get all nervous. So therefore, Avram had an ingenious plan. He said he was going to pretend as if they're not going to sacrifice. He's not going to sacrifice his son. And he said, okay, we're going to go on a tuyul today. And with these two young men. And he told Sarah, please, you know, pack up the lunches. We're going for, you know, quite a walk, and Sarah prepared everything, and then right at the end, Avram said, "Oh, by the way, hey Yitzchak, maybe you'd like to come along. Where are you going? Oh, going to serve Hashem. And oh, okay, sure, you know, why not?" And he tacked along. This way, he wouldn't have to, you know, shock him as he said, "Okay, Yitzchak, we're going somewhere. Where are we going? What?" And get him all nervous and get Sarah nervous. Therefore, being sensitive to their feelings, he went about a different way. Ah, we're Kilo going with these two young men, and Yitzchak, you want to come along? And therefore, that's why the pasuk is written, V'yikach et shneinar avito, and as a second afterthought, oh, and also Yitzchak beno, because that's the way Avraham approached it, so as not to put excess fear or strain on his son Yitzchak or his wife Sarah. So, the of course, main lesson is how a person has to be careful and be sensitive towards the feeling of others. You know, sometimes we do things, we act in certain ways, and we don't pay attention so much to how we're affecting other people. It's a story with Chaim Moshe Grzynski. We see his sensitivity. That once he was on the street with his Talmidim, and he was going to a certain place. And a man came up to him and said, excuse me, he asked directions. How do I get to such and such an address? So Rav Chaim Moser says, oh, here, let me take you. And he says, oh, thank you very much. So he says, here, follow me. Took the man, walked like a half hour to exactly to the address and says, okay, here's where you have to go. And the man said, thank you very much. So afterwards, the Talmidim said, Rebbe, what's going on? He says, we know you weren't going in that direction. You were going totally in the other direction. What's going on? You took this man all the way. Why didn't you do like everybody does? When somebody asks you direction, you say, Yasha, 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 Yamina, Smola, you know, and that's it. Go. Well, just tell him, you know. We understand Rebbe, maybe, you know, he's not going to, when he gets there, you know, towards the area, sometimes, you know, you get loose, you don't know where to go. He's like, okay, so then you can ask somebody else when he gets a little bit closer. Why do you have to walk him in the other direction, the other direction where you're going, take him all the way there? Well, he can, you know. So Rav Chaim Moshe says, you obviously weren't paying attention. He says, what? He says, if you noticed, this man, when he asked me for directions, he was stuttering. This man has a problem stuttering. So when a person who stutters says, you know, it's very uncomfortable for them, right? It's very embarrassing for having to, when they have to talk to people, especially strangers. So, okay, he had no choice. He had to ask me for directions. But because he stuttered, it was very embarrassing. So I felt bad for the guy. I didn't want to have to make him go through this again. If I tell him, okay, go down there and then ask somebody else, you know, when you get closer. So again, he has to feel, you know, embarrass himself having to stutter again. And again, being sensitive to this man's feelings, he said, I'm gonna take him all the way there so he doesn't have to ask anybody else. He doesn't have to, you know, feel uncomfortable about his stuttering. There's a Maisa with there's an Avreich living in Lakewood. And he was full time, you know, Torah was his life. And as the years went on, the Parnassa problems, you know, set in. You know, it's learning full time, not making much of an income, and has to support a family. And it was very difficult, and it was getting to the point where he couldn't afford it anymore. So he said, listen, he sat down with his wife, and he says, look, we can't go on like this. I'm going to have to go out and get a job. So his wife said, nothing doing. He said, no, you're staying and learning. He says, I know, I'd love to, but, you know, we have to have a parnasa. What am I supposed to do? She says, no, we'll think of something. Don't go out to work. I want you to stay learning. He says, what? How are we going to live? So she thought for a minute. She goes, okay, I have an idea. She took off her finger, her engagement ring, which had a nice, decent-sized diamond on it. And she said, here, take this to a diamond dealer or jeweler or whatever, have it appraised and sell it. And with the money, we can live a little bit longer. How long? Okay. But whatever it is, you'll be able to stay in learning a little bit longer. Sell my engagement ring. So we said, sure, you get your engagement ring. I said, no, you know, for the tour, it's worth it. Okay. So Avreich went to this diamond dealer's chassid, the Satmar chassid, and he shows him the ring, and he looks at it, and he says to the Avreich, tell me something. He says, where did you get this ring? Where is this? What ring is it? He says, well, this is my wife's engagement ring, and I'd like to sell it, you know. So he says, okay. So he's looking at it again. He says, look, the way I see it, it looks like it's worth around $1,400. However, you know, I'm not like that great of an expert. I see certain things here which might make a difference in the diamond, and I don't want to, you know, paskin myself. So I'd like to send you to my brother. He's a big time dealer. He's more experienced in looking at stones, and then, you know, I feel more comfortable because it looks to me like $1,400. But, you know, if you please go to my brother. He goes, fine. So he takes the ring, and he goes to this guy's brother. The brother looks at the ring, examines it, and he says, you want to sell this? He goes, yeah. He goes, okay, I'll give you $10,000. Wow, $10,000? Yeah. He goes, wow, okay, it's unbelievable. I even remember, you know, his brother was saying, hey, honey, I was going to give him $1,400, he's getting $10,000. He says, great, wonderful, okay. So the pulls out his thing, pulls out his money, $10,000. He gives it to the Avreich, he goes, the Avreich says, thank you very much, takes the money and puts it in his pocket, and he makes his way to the door. He's about to leave the room. All of a sudden, the dealer says to him, wait a second. He says, what about your ring? You forgot your ring here. So he says, what are you talking about? Don't you remember? I sold you my ring. You gave me the money. I gave you the ring. What do you mean your ring? So he goes, no. He says, it's okay. He says, take the ring and the money, it's a gift. He says, and when that runs out, you can come back for more. So the Avreich is like, I don't understand. What is going on over here? So he says, you want to know what's going on? Speak to my brother. Okay, so he takes the ring, takes the money, and he goes to the back to straighten up to the brother, and he goes, okay, I give up. I go to you, you say, I don't have $1,400, send me to your brother. I go to your brother, he said, $10,000, he gives him the money, he said, keep the ring. Oh, what's going on over here? So he said, listen, he says, you came here with this ring. I asked you initially, what's this ring? You told me it's my wife's engagement. He said, no, I'm not stupid. Okay? I can put two and two together. You know, you're selling your wife's engagement. Why would somebody sell his wife's engagement ring? You don't just sell it. Obviously, you're a poor avreich and needs the money in order to learn, right? So I really wanted to help you, but I'm not, you know, in that status of being able to, you know, help you out so much. But my brother, I know, is. So therefore, I just sent you to my brother. You know, I obviously let him know and send you to my brother and let him. I knew he could take care of you because he has, you know, he's a man of a lot of means. And sure enough, he says that's what happened. He gave you the money and he told you to come back when it runs out. He goes, you can do just that. When the money runs out, you go back to him. He'll take care of you. Guns fine. So here we have, again, you know, person who's sensitive to others, and he looks, you know, he doesn't, you know, he heard this selling a ring, he said, wait a second, ring, why would he sell his ring? You know, other people would just, you know, okay, you want to sell your ring? Okay, here it is, give the money and finish, I don't even think twice. But here, he saw between the lines, right, between the lines, why is he selling his ring? Because he was a man that cares about others. So it's a very similar, very famous Maisa with, I think it was Rav Chaim Volozhin, I'm not sure. But it's a very famous Maisa. Similar idea, this once before Pesach, this man comes to Rav Chaim, he says, I have a shaila. He says, what's that? He says, can a person use milk for his arba kosos on Pesach? So Rav Chaim pulls out his wallet, takes out $50 or whatever the currency was in those in Europe, whatever, he takes out $50, he gives it to the man, he says, give me these shilas. Just go buy yourself some wine, okay? So he says, oh, thank you very much. Takes the money and he goes. So his wife said to him, he says, oh, she said to him, well, I don't understand. The guy wants no milk, fine. So you understand, okay? Guy doesn't have, you know, wine, you know, that's what he wants to make arbacos on milk. So he gave him money. But wine, a bottle of wine, doesn't cost $50, okay? You get a nice cheap bottle of wine, you know, for a few bucks. Like, why'd you give him $50? So he answered, he said, listen, a guy that is ready to make arba kosos on milk, what does that tell you? He says that he doesn't have meat either in the house. If he had meat at the meal, he's not going to be making arba kosos on milk. Right? So in Mele, he needs money for meat, so I gave him money, so he can have money for the meat also, not just for the wine. It's again, being sensitive, not hearing, reading between the lines. And okay, milk, fine. What does it mean? We heard from Rabbi Friend this Friday, Erev Shabbos, Vort, also brings out this idea a little bit. This was in last week's Seder, Parshas Lech Lecha, where Kadosh Baruch Hu takes out Avraham Avinu, tells him to count the stars, right? And he says, see the stars out there, Ko Yezaracha. Your seed will be like these stars. So, what's the remez the Kosh Baruch was telling Avram over here? So he says that we're very familiar with the Chazal. The beginning, Rashi brings it down. Beginning of Bereishis, the fourth day of creation, Hashem created the sun, He created the moon, and the same size until the moon, said, hey, what's going on over here? You know, you can't have two kings, you know, rule at the same time. So Kosh Baruch said, fine, you're right, and He made the moon less. And then after that, it says that in the Torah, Ve'asachachavim, Hashem also created the stars. So what were the stars for? Okay, there's two main, you know, sources of light, was the sun and the moon. Hashem lessened the moon, but so what are the stars all about? So Rashi says the stars, Al Yedei Shemiyat HaLavana, since Hashem lessened the moon, Hir Betzva'eha LaHafis Daita. So Hashem increased the hosts, in other words, the stars, made all these stars. Why? L'hafistaita, to appease the moon, right? That this moon, you know, got lessened. So poor moon, you know, got lessened. So Kosh Baruch Hu created the stars to, you know, have feel bad for this moon and try, you know, make up. And out in the nighttime we have this. We have the moon. We have the stars along with to give the extra light there to help, you know, make the moon feel better, as it were. Here we see Rem is here in the moon and the stars, and then how you have to be sensitive to us, and therefore that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Ko yezaracha, he's saying Avraham Avinu, your seed is going to be like this. Your seed are going to have this tchuna, the ability to be able to appease, to feel bad for somebody else, and to try to appease them. And that's what we were speaking about tonight. there's a Agav, really, I saw a nice pshat, heard a nice pshat also on Erev Shabbos on this Ko Yezarcha from a different aspect, and that's from a Sefer Likutei Batar Likutei, in his name, that he said, interesting, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu out, and he says, count the stars if you can count them, is the Lashon. And then he says, Ko Yezarcha, this is how your seed is going to be. So, it's interesting, it says, when was this? It says, right after this, it says, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo, after this incident. Meaning, and then it became night. The sun went down. So, he asks, wait a minute, Hashem took out Abraham before the sun went down, it was still daytime, and he says, count the stars if you can count them, and Koyi Ezarecha. He says, how are you supposed to count the stars in the daytime? Go outside in the daytime, you know, when the sun is out, and count the stars. Not Chayak. You only count the stars at night. So what's Pshat? Hashem took him outside and says, count the stars in the daytime? Oh, what? He says, Ko Yezarecha. Ah, so he says, Einachanami, that was the point. Hashem wanted to show him something. He says, go count the stars. I can't count the stars. In the daytime, I'm supposed to count. He says, why can't you count the stars, Avram? He says, what do you mean? The sun's out. The sun's bright. You don't see stars when it's sunny. Only when the sun goes down. Ah, he says, Einachanami. He says, that's the lesson I want to show you. That Ko Yezarecha, meaning the stars represent all the nations of the world. There's many, many, many stars out there. But what? When you have the sun, no more stars. You can't see them. So too, in the future, there's going to be all kinds of nations that are many, many nations out there. And they're all going to, you know, want to go against the Klal Yisrael. But what? One sun, Klal Yisrael, you don't see any. It blurts out everything. No more, no nation, don't have to worry about anything. One sun, they're all gone. So too, Ko Yezarecha, like the sun and the sun comes out, no more stars, that's what's going to be. In the future, the Yidden, one nation, and it eliminates all the others. Back to our topic at hand, just to share one last story with you. The Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher, he's also, this story I heard, read from also from Nachman Seltzer. So, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher, he was the Rosh based in Abedatz, a big tzaddik, and he was a nifter just like 6 years ago. So, we're not talking, I'm just giving you an idea, we're not talking about, you know, from the old country. But that was someone that lived in our day and age. He was nifter just 6 years ago. So, Rav Fisher, when he was already an old man, he suffered a heart condition, a very weak heart. And the doctors said that he needed a pacemaker. Now, they ran into a problem, though. What was the problem? That in order to put in the pacemaker, you have to put the person out, right? You have to give him general anesthetic. However, they said, we have a problem, because since his heart is weak, it's like a catch-22, his heart is weak, that's why I have to put in a pacemaker. But in order to put in the pacemaker, we have to give him this general anesthetic, which is going to be too hard on his heart. He won't be able to handle it. So, catch-22, what should we do? Can't give him the pacemaker because of the anesthetic, but he needs a pacemaker, so what do we do? So they came to a standstill. So Rav Fisher said, wait a minute. He says, not a problem. I have the perfect solution. I said, what, Rabbi? He said, just tell me when you want to operate. You know, get everything ready in your operating room, whatever. Give me a warning, a few minutes. Then I'll delve into a sugya and think about the Gemaras, whatever, the sugya. And then while I'm thinking about the sugya, you can operate. And I said, I won't feel a thing. He said, what? We're gonna operate on you without any anesthetic. You're gonna be thinking about your, you know, Gemaras. He goes, yeah, no problem. Just, are you sure? Yeah, no problem. Sure enough, that's exactly what they did. They set them all up, or whatever. You got all the instruments ready for the operation. They said, okay, Rabbi, we're ready. Go to it. So he started, you know, thinking about a certain sugya, whatever. And they saw when he was really into it. Then they started the operation, and they did the whole thing, put in the pacemaker, everything. And success. They didn't flinch. So afterwards, they finished, and a few minutes later, he came to, and he was like, ah, oh, and he was like really excited and happy, whatever. And he said, you know, okay, great enough thing that you didn't feel the operation, but, you know, what are you so happy about? So he says, what am I happy about? Because it's Chodesh Shvat. So he said, yeah, so what, Chodesh Shvat? So he says, this is the first time since I've been a rabbi that I finished my Shabbos Hagadol Drasha so early. Anyway, here's just to give you an example we're talking about. So Rav Fisher was known to take tremendous, his house was always open for people to come, asking shaylas and halacha and etzas, whatever, constantly. He was known to see about 40 to 50 people a day. And he was very makpid, never to, you know, to say no, always to make sure, you know, certain times have the people, you know, Kabbalah's call, and no matter what, always gave people a chance to come in and ask, whatever, very, very makpid. Anyway, that was fine when he was a young man, but as we said, he was older, he had his heart condition, it was very difficult, he was very weak, and it was very, very difficult, very taxing for him to you know, deal with the public like this. But he was very makpid, and anyways, you know, it has to be. And they recall that once he was so weak that in Shacharis, when he put his head down for Tachanun, he couldn't lift his head up. He kept his head. He was so weak. But Mecholzot, they you know, I said, okay, you know, we can't, the Rav can't see people today, whatever. But no, he insisted. You have to let the people come. Anyways, so this was just a few months before he was Nifter. He was in this matzav, and he insisted that people come, and he was very, very weak this one day. And he was just like sitting over, like slouched in his chair, very taxing for him. And his mishpacha were worried. He said, he can't start seeing people like this. Not, you know. So, but he insisted. And so his grandson wanted to make a pshara. He said, listen, instead of people coming in and out, we'll make it a little bit easier. He says, I'll be the go-between. People will, stay in the waiting room. One by one, I'll ask them their shiloh. No, I'll bring in the shiloh, concisely question, and bring out the answer, and that's that. So they agreed, the father, you know, his grandfather agreed, and that's what they did. And it was working quite nicely. As the shiloh comes in, gets the answer, brings out the answer, tuk, 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 one after the other. And there was a whole room of people waiting, and one after the other, then it was going quite smoothly. So they finished the whole line of people. Finally, there was one man left, last man left in the waiting room. Comes up the man, okay, can I have your shiloh, please? I'll take it into my grandfather. So he said, the man said, no, please, if you don't mind, I'd like to go in myself and, ask the shiloh myself. So the grandson said, listen, I'd like to, but my grandfather is very weak, especially after all these people and the answers he had to get, and he's got no koach, and please, if you want to, I'll go in, but I can't let you in. So he said, please, he said, listen, I'll let you give a little background. He says, I have a son who, ready from birth, had all kinds of complicated problems, and I've been constantly asking your grandfather Shilas all the way along the line. Anyway, so now the doctor said that my son has to undergo an operation, and I don't want to just go ahead with it, and it's a very serious thing, and without your grandfather, ask him advice, yes, no, what, get his input. I've been going with him the whole way along, with my son, and I need your grandfather's help. So he said, okay, but I'm sorry, I'll, if you want to ask me the shiloh, tell me, I'll go in and I'll ask my grandfather, but you can't come in. So he said, okay, if I can't, I can't, and he told him, what to ask. So he said, okay, he goes into the grandfather's. Grandfather now is like sitting there, like hunched over, totally exhausted. He can hardly lift his head up. So the grandson said, listen, there's a man out here, so-and-so, and, told him it was, and he tells him, the shiloh. So Rav Fisher lifts up his head, a little bit, as much as he could, and he said, you're asking me such a shiloh like that today? Now, he said, how can I answer this? Such a involved, deep shiloh. He says, I have no koach. He says, go tell him to go to some other posik. And then he like slunches over again. And the grandson didn't yet go. He just like waited a few minutes. And then all of a sudden he saw his grandfather lift his head up and says, wait a minute. He said, no, don't go. He said, this man has been coming to me regularly with all these complicated trials because of his first son, his matzah. And he says, okay, I can't let him just go. I'll have to answer it. So he said, all of a sudden, he notices change in his grandfather from being no koach. He saw him like sit up in the chair, and he said, go ask him again the details and come back to me. Let me hear the shaila again. So he comes back and he says, okay, again, this is the shaila. And he all of a sudden he started getting koach, and he's thinking and that. And he says, wait, I'm not sure about this. Ask him this. So he goes, okay. He goes back out, asks him that, comes back in, and he clarifies another point. He says, oh, well, what about this? Go ask him this. Back and forth. Anyways, the grandson's going in and out for 20 minutes. Back and forth, 20 minutes, in and out. Anyways, all of a sudden it hit him, the grandson. He says, what's going on over here? I see my grandfather, Ruch Hashem, feeling better now. You know, he's like, he's got koach, back and forth. So why am I jumping back and forth? Why don't I just let the guy come in already and then finish off? It's ridiculous. So, sure enough, he asks his grandfather, he says, listen, why don't I just tell this man to come in instead of me bouncing back and forth already? You know, you can speak to him face to face. So what did Rav Fisher answer? He says, no, I want you to go. He says, why? He says, you can't, please, don't, you can't bring in this man here. He says, why? He says, because I'm too weak, and my heart is such too weak of a condition that I would not be able to bear to have this man sit right next to me. Right? Because all the hardship that this man's going through with his son, and I couldn't bear being next to this guy. I feel so bad for him and what he's going through, and I can't be next to him. It would be lethal. My heart is too weak, and I can't be next to him. So please do me a favor, and you go and be the go between as we finish the shiloh. So you see, unbelievable. Here's Rav Fisher. Here's a man who we mentioned at the beginning of this is somebody who was able to undergo an operation without anesthetic. For that, he had the strength to he didn't feel pain. But when it came to feeling the pain of others, he felt the pain of others to such a degree he couldn't handle it. The same man who could handle the pain of an operation could not handle the pain of other people. So that's our lesson for today. We started from Avram, took us through various other stories, and the lesson is clear. Like we said, we have to put our mindset on being sensitive, not to our own needs, and not to people ask something, they say something, look between the lines, see what does the person really need. Why is he asking this? We have to be like the stars. We have to be sensitive and caring to other people. And so we know Hashem acts mida keneged mida. If we're sensitive toward others, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will, in response, be sensitive to us and give us all mili the mutav and meitav, and so Hashem bring the ultimate good. Fias kol tzedek. Amen.